Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.
The Brooklyn's Radio Playhouse.
Upstage Surrey presents Coffee by Peter Bridge.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
Excuse me. Hello? Can you just stop a moment?
Sure.
May I ask what you're doing in this raid?
Yes, of course you can. May I have your name, please?
Why do you need to know my name?
Well, you asked me a question. Am I to be denied the same privilege?
Well, what possible grounds might you have for obtaining my personal details?
I don't have any. I just wanted to be on equal terms.
So you're not going to answer my original question?
Oh, I don't think so.
All right. So it's stalemate.
If you like. Okay, we'll skip the name bit. Just tell me why you need to know my business here.
I have my reasons. I mean, this is a private area, and you're in it.
It doesn't say private. Barriers are indications.
Well, it's a cul-de-sac. I mean, you couldn't just be passing through, could you?
I'll concede it's a cul-de-sac, but private it isn't.
Well, we've had some break-ins round here just lately, and we have to be careful.
I'm sure you do. And I'll try to contact you if I see any dodgy-looking characters around there. Now, excuse me.
Hold on. Who have you come here to see?
And why do you need to know that?
It's just a random check.
Oh, yes. You're thinking, what can this common low-grade person be doing in my salubrious upmarket location? Well, aren't you?
Well, you're not far off the mark with that one. So why are you here?
Supposing I don't tell you.
Well, I'd feel obliged to keep a pretty close watch on you.
Oh, I see. Like, say, a stalker engaged in some dubious act of voyeurism.
Now, there's no need for that. Why don't we simply end this ridiculous fencing around? I'll give you my name, and then you can tell me what your damn reason is for being here.
Wow. Now, the problem is, you could say your name is Roger Lloyd or Trevor Jones, and then in return I'd be obliged to make up some reason for my presence here. So we'd cancel each other out, and we'd be no further forward, would we?
Oh, annoyingly. You have a point there. However, let's see. I'm prepared to give you my name. I'm Anthony Crawley. How do you do? There. How would that suit you? What do you think? Made up or factual?
I like it.
Do you think it's befitting? It's been my handle from birth, so I'm kind of used to it by now.
Well, yes, I must say, it does rather suit you. Anthony Crawley. Yes, I doubt if anyone would willingly fabricate Crawley as a name to present to a complete stranger.
Then you're convinced?
Not entirely, I'm afraid.
Oh, shame. All right, stage two. It's your turn. So what's your highly unlikely pretext for your visit to this area?
Oh, no. Can we stop? It's not working, is it? Tell you what, I'm going to give you a choice of, say, two explanations. And I'm prepared to concede that at least one will be the true and authentic reason for my attendance here today. How would that be for you?
Oh, come on. This really is rather tiresome. Though, I'll admit, it's intriguing. So, if it makes you happy, I'm prepared to go along with that. With one of them being correct, of course. The unadulterated truth. Yes?
Oh, definitely. And you have a sporting chance of hitting the jackpot. And then we can skip the personal ID bit.
Okay. But what happens if I guess the wrong one?
Then I win. And I proceed down the street, undisturbed and unhindered by a snooping resident.
Okay. This is absurd. But I'm ready to receive the first of your two options.
Right. Here we go. Explanation number one. Well, Mr. Crawley, may I use that epithet?
Well, it is my name.
Okay. Option one. I'm here today to visit Mrs. Deborah Dempster. She lives up there on the left at number 27, just up the road. How's that?
That's not bad. Though I'd say you've taken a bit of a risk there, as I'm sure you don't know where I live. I could be an immediate neighbour. Or maybe it's me who resides at number 27.
Fair point. But if you know the lady, you'll also know that she's studying music. And in fact, I'm here today to provide piano lessons for the good lady. Due to kick off in 20 minutes.
Well, bravo. If that's a lie, I must say it's a winner. And together with the precise location you've supplied, well, it just has to be true, doesn't it? Or otherwise, it's an incredible bluff.
So, is that your choice then? Are you sticking with it? Or would you like to consider the other alternative?
Well, I've got nothing to lose. I'll stay with option one until I've heard you lie your way through option two. And then we'll see. Have you enough time?
Enough time for what?
I nearly got you there. Remember, Mrs. What's her name? Dempster?
Oh, yes. Actually, I'm almost under starter's orders, but the good lady isn't too strict about the time.
So, what are you going to come up with for option two?
Okay, for option two, here it is. And this one actually is the truth.
I doubt it.
I thought for this one, I'd go for a narrative that's perhaps a touch uncommon, fringing on the more, shall we say, dramatic emphasis.
Dramatic? Then I can't wait to hear it. Does this one by any chance involve Mrs. Dempster?
No, I just made her up.
So, the first option was untrue?
Well, only if option two is correct, yes. Otherwise, option one is still on the table.
Oh, why did I get into this? So, onwards to option two.
I must warn you, though. You might find this a trifling unsettling. But I promise you, I'll be brutally frank with the details. Are you ready for this?
Yes, of course. Go on.
Right. Option two is, I've come here today to kill you.
You know, stranger, I don't want to offend you, but are you absolutely raving mad?
So I take it won't be your selection, then?
I must say, you've got some colossal nerve. You know, I'd be extremely concerned if your threat was valid, but I'd say it's well beyond your capabilities, old chum.
Perfectly serious.
All right, so let's examine the evidence. Why should you give the game away? I mean, now you've disclosed your intentions, I could run for it. Or call the law. You'd be a pretty second-rate assassin, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I suppose it would be rather clumsy of me. But this will only be my second execution. This grisly business doesn't come at all naturally to me.
Right. So, we've got you here in Cavendish Gardens, to finish me off, apparently. So, am I permitted to know what my crime might be for meriting such a severe punishment?
Well, I thought you'd have been all too aware of this. You know, have a conscience or regret about some possible misdeed you've perpetrated in the past. I mean, even at this stage, it wouldn't be too late for an apology. And of course, you could try begging for mercy if you think it might help. I mean, that's what I would expect to do in your shoes, you know, before the Avengers strikes.
My friend, do you know, you're one tedious little bastard. So let's cut it right there, okay? And as for an apology, you can shove that up as far as it goes, mate. I've a very clear conscience, and all you've been doing today is winding me up.
Well, you can look at it another way if you prefer.
No, I'd much prefer it if you just pushed off.
Oh, come on. Play the game. I'm quite prepared to believe you haven't ever upset even a single living soul.
Except you, apparently.
Not necessarily. You see, with an assassination, it doesn't have to be a reprisal. It could be a throwback from the past whereby your elimination would be of some value to, say, a foreign state.
Ah. So you know all about me, do you?
Yes, I know quite a bit, actually. I have it on good authority that you've never held down a high-security job or ever run the risk of upsetting an Eastern Bloc nation.
Well, in fact, you'd be quite wrong. I did have a job in the diplomatic services. You don't know me.
Oh, I've heard things.
What things?
What they've said about you.
Oh, yes. What have you heard?
Oh, they've said things like, he's a tireless worker, good at negotiating, gets on with people. But thank Christ, they never let him loose with a 15-cartridge Beretta.
That's ridiculous. I'm proud of what I've achieved in my career.
Yes. You scaled those towering diplomatic ladders right to the top, didn't you, James Diggins? That's your real name, of course. While I, a lowly civil service misfit, succeeded in slipping down the slippery snakes all the way to obscurity.
So, you've ascertained my correct name, and you've been envious of my superior stature in rank during your, I would presume, brief government employment. And this makes you the aggrieved executioner. So what are you going to do then? Assault me with a powder puff?
Be serious, James.
All right. So let's seriously consider you as an assailant. There's three glaring points. One, you're physically incapable. Two, I don't know you. And three, I would say both my life and career have been, well, if not entirely virtuous, then certainly blameless.
Or so you believe.
Well, I'm pretty sure that if I have upset anyone, it would surely not have been anything that would warrant my receiving a bullet blasted through my brain by some vindictive assailant.
That isn't the modus operandi I had in mind.
No, now that's quite enough. You don't scare me, and you're certainly not my anonymous assassin. So I'm afraid that's it. I'm not taking any more of this tripe. In fact, I'm calling the police.
That's rather a drastic manoeuvre. Don't you enjoy mind games?
Look, I'll be frank. Before, I'll admit, I was enjoying our little discourse. An interesting battle of wits whilst it was civil. But since you've upgraded your level of oratory to being grossly unpleasant, I don't see why I should continue to take any more of this stupid malarkey.
Sorry you've taken it so personally.
Were you mad? Of course I've taken it bloody personally. You say you've come here to kill me. For God's sake, how do you think I'm going to react?
It's only an option.
An option? Yes, a totally intimidating one. That's like me saying one of my objections to you is that you're a boring, nauseating little twat.
Well, I just threw in option two to test your reaction.
Oh, how thoughtful of you. You just threw in option two. And was it a surprise that I had an acute distaste for my personal liquidation?
No, I'm sure that would be a typical reaction.
So are you now saying that you're withdrawing that offensive option?
Oh, come on. You know I was only having a game with you.
A game, was it? A game? A bloody game. After all that. That's some malicious form of entertainment, matey.
I do apologise, Mr. Crawley. Mr. Diggins. Just forget all about option two. My imagination started getting the better of me. You know, I can't stop myself once I get going.
I could still have you arrested for issuing me with a threat upon my life. So, after all that, how the hell do you know me?
Well, we've never met, though I believe I once knew your wife many years ago.
You knew Jenny? Huh. Did you work together or something?
Yeah, something like that. Way before her unfortunate suicide.
Yes, indeed. That was totally shocking. Well, if you're withdrawing your insidious threat upon me, I'll walk you up the road to number 27. By the way, what's your name?
It's Adam. Adam Venger.
Right, Adam. Shall we make a move?
Can we hang fire just for a second? Would you mind? I'd really like a coffee before I call on Debbie.
So, you're already armed with a flask of decaffeinated?
Oh, always. Wouldn't be without it. Though this is the straight caffeine type. Will you join me? I've got two cups.
Two cups? Are you always this prepared?
I've got to get Mrs. Debbie Dempster through Beethoven's Ninth this morning. Quite a challenge for both of us, I can assure you. Can I pour you a cup?
Well, why not? I was just about to pop back for one myself. Here, I'll hold the cups while you do that.
Thanks. Excellent. Oh, I hope it's all right. There's no sugar in there, I'm afraid.
No, this is fine. I happen to be a diabetic. So you knew Jenny, did you?
Oh, sure. Long ago and far away.
I lost her. I still can't believe that she'd do that. Suicide.
You're not going to be a cowardly custard, are you? I bet you're thinking, I wonder if he slipped something into that cup. But honestly, please dismiss all that assassination chat. It was just my devilish sense of humour.
I confess, it did cross my mind that you might have slipped in an additive. Possibly a vial of arsenic, eh? Just to give it a kick.
Well, both cups were filled from the same thermos flask. But if you're still apprehensive, we could both drink together. At the count of three. Ready?
I'm ready.
Right. One, two, three. There. That was... Oh, I'm sure about this. This tastes like... Oh, I don't like this at all. It's only milk and coffee. Cranky. I don't understand. Oh, my God. There's something in this.
Yes. I think you've detected it. I did manage to slip a little something into your cup.
What? You fool! Everything's spinning. I can't breathe. I'm suffocating.
Yes, that will be the case when you're dealing with hydrogen cyanide. It tends to act extremely quickly.
Yeah, help me, please.
I'm afraid it's too late to save you, old boy. You will have ingested a substance that will release toxic carbon nitrogen to the body, which should result in your immediate death, I'm afraid.
Why? Why?
I said I never forget a face. You certainly get around, don't you, Comrade Sergei Petrov? I heard you've just returned from Slovakia and Syria. Weaving your multilingual skills, spreading disinformation to the masses.
No, help me.
Tough luck, mate. That'll be the last time you track down and exterminate defectors from your own Russian intelligence service. Good riddance. What a stupid story. Piano player, taking me for a fool. No way. Let's get the firm's meat wagon here before some idiot calls the emergency services.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Excuse me, I hope you don't mind me asking, but did you see anyone approaching this road when you came over the common?
No, I came straight home from the station an hour ago. Haven't seen a soul on the common since then.
Oh, that's annoying. It was quite important for me.
Do you need any help?
Oh, no. I'm waiting for Chris Phillips. He's my piano teacher.
Your piano teacher?
Yes. He's been trying to get me past my grade 2 standard.
Piano teacher, you say? That's what you said, wasn't it?
Yes. He's a lovely chap. I've known Chris for years.
You've known him for years, you say?
Oh, yes. Well, surely you've seen him. You live down at the far end, don't you?
Yes, at number 61.
Well, surely you remember Chris. He was our postman for over 20 years. He's known me from way back. His fiancée was a local girl, Jenny Fielding. She was a civil servant.
Postman. And engaged to Jenny. My Jenny. Oh, God. I'm sure he said this was his second execution.
Execution?
No. Something just crossed my mind. I seem to remember a Jenny Fielding when I worked for the government.
Yes, Jenny left him for some big cheese in the diplomatic service. Chris was pretty cut up about it at the time. I heard that she later fatally fell at Beachy Head, but they left an open verdict on the incident. I see Chris's wife quite often these days, and the children used to attend the local school.
His wife and children. Oh, my God. But, didn't he once live abroad?
Oh, no. Why do you ask?
I just thought I might have known him, you know. Oh, God, help me. I've obviously got him mixed up with someone else.
Well, surely over the years you would have seen him in the road.
Well, I'm afraid I've been out of the country a lot. But I suppose... delivering bloody letters. God. That's where I must have seen him before.
Before what?
I don't know. I can't think straight. I'm feeling terrible. My head's spinning. I think I'd better be going home.
Yes, it is a bit damp out today. You get yourself indoors. Make yourself a nice cup of coffee.
Yes, I'll go. I might skip the coffee, though. 12. And a bleeding postman. How could I have got them confused?
You know, Chris is always spinning one of his wild stories. He writes for Action Crusader magazine in his spare time. He creates a comic strip depicting a vengeance-seeking superhero called Adam Venger. He told me on the phone yesterday that he'd discovered a new storyline involving a method of committing the perfect murder.
He said that, did he?
Yes. He said, how's this for a decent plot line? Supposing a diabetic person somehow ingested strong sedatives with a cup of caffeinated coffee laced with, say, Dapsone. It's a very dangerous drug to consume when you've got a dietary condition.
Oh, it is. I mean, suppose it would be.
He said how difficult it would be to ascertain a culprit, and it also benefits the perpetrator as it removes him from the scene and provides him with an alibi.
But how could this be fatal?
Oh, the sedative will slow the pulse and consequently delay the victim's realisation that he requires another shot of insulin. Failure to attend to this vital need will send the patient into a dizzy, nauseous state of complete inertia, and so he helplessly drifts off into a state of unconsciousness.
And death?
Well, unless anyone could save him, that is, and only by reviving him with an immediate shot of insulin.
Well, surely the police would be suspicious.
Oh, no. Consider. A diabetic man delays taking his insulin jab, which causes his heart to weaken and fail. Well, I'd say it's a perfect fit for a natural causes verdict from the coroner.
Look, I'm sorry. I've got to get home. Fast.
Why? You're not being chased by Chris's alter ego comic hero, the ubiquitous Adam Venger. You know, the Avenger, by any chance.
Avenger. Oh, God. Why didn't I suss it?
Are you all right, Mr. Diggins? Mine. You're cold. Mr. Diggins? Oh, my God. What's happened? Mr. Diggins? Mr. Diggins?
One more cup of coffee for the road. One more cup of...
You have been listening to Coffee by Peter Bridge. Directed by Mills Ross and edited by Colin Hansford. With Steve Infield as James, Gary Ward as Chris, and Kate Ashley as Debbie. Music and sound effects courtesy of YouTube. Upstage Surrey. Creating Entertainment, written and performed by local people, for local people.
He'll teach you how to pick and choose and how to throw the blade. He oversees his kingdom, so no stranger does intrude. His voice, it trembles as he calls out for another plate of food.
Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.